Well, good morning, church. I'm Pastor Mike and have the privilege to bring to you this message. You know, there are certain moments in the life of a church that invite us to pause. We pause to celebrate baptisms. We pause to dedicate children. We pause to remember those who have passed away. And today, we pause to celebrate a faithful servant entering a new season of life. Sue Trumbull in her 22 years of being on staff, serving and loving First Alliance Church. You know, retirement often comes with mixed emotions, right? There's gratitude for what was accomplished. There's sadness at a chapter's ending. There's excitement for what lies ahead. And perhaps there's even uncertainty. One of the greatest misconceptions about retirement is that it represents the end of usefulness. Our culture often tells us that our value is tied into our productivity. That once your job ends, your significance somehow diminishes. But God tells a very, very different story. Psalm 92 reminds us that God is faithful. And for those who are planted in him, they will have deep roots. And they will be used for his glory and for his kingdom in every season of life. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this time where we can focus on your word. God, thank you that you gave us your word that is a light unto our feet. God, thank you that it shows us how to do life, how to connect with you, how to know you. God, we just give you this. God, do with it as you will. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, you can open your Bibles to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. It's also going to be on the screen behind me. We're going to start reading in Psalm 92, starting in verse 1. I'm going to read a pretty big chunk of it now because we're going to be focusing on the last half of this. So verse 1, it says this: "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by a 10-stringed instrument, a harp, and the melody of a lyre. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. O Lord, what great works you do, and how deep are your thoughts. Only a simpleton would not know, and only a fool would not understand this. Though the wicked sprout like weeds and evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, O Lord, will be exalted forever. Your enemies, Lord, will surely perish. All evildoers will be scattered. But you have made me strong as a wild ox. You have anointed me with the finest oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the defeat of my wicked opponents." So the major theme that we see here in Psalm 92 is that it's this, that our God is great and he is sovereign and he is faithful. That he's the one who sits on the throne, that he is righteous and holy, and he is powerful and just and loving and compassionate and trustworthy. Psalm 92, it uses several names for God that help us see who he is. Every time you see the word Lord, that's the word Jehovah, and it emphasizes God's faithfulness and his covenant relationship with his people. That God is faithful to his people, and his people are called to remain faithful to him. God's name Elyon is used in verse 1, and it means most high. And it emphasizes God's supremacy and his sovereignty. He is above all things. And then we see the name Elohim used in verse 13, and this emphasizes God's power and his authority, his creative and sustaining power. God is faithful. God is sovereign. God is powerful, and he is the ultimate authority. And because of who he is, he deserves our praise, and he deserves our faithfulness. And as such, church, God isn't looking for people who simply flourish for a season. He is looking for people who stay planted in him for a lifetime. And to help us understand this, Psalm 92, it gives us two contrasting pictures of two kinds of lives, the faithful and the unfaithful. The unfaithful, those who reject God, the New Living Translation calls them simpletons, while the King James Version calls them brutish. See, this isn't the idea that they're unintelligent, but it's this idea that they are spiritually blind and they lack discernment. And they see the same world that everyone else sees, but they fail to recognize God's hand at work in it. They miss God in all of it. Verse 7 compares these unfaithful to being grass or weeds that sprout up quickly and appear to flourish, but they're only successful for a season because their flourishing is only temporary. Why? It's because they have no roots. I remember a pastor telling me this story about a young, naive farmer. And he used this chemical on his crops to make them grow faster and taller than everyone else's. And he thought he discovered something that no one else knew. And he was proud at how quickly his crops were growing. But then a storm came. The wind and the rain crushed his crops. They were ruined. The day after the storm, a wise old farmer came to him and explained something important, that crops need time to grow deep roots. And those deep roots allow them to withstand storms and the wind and the rain and the elements. And the lesson is simple. Fast growing isn't necessarily deep growth. That same thing is true spiritually. You can appear to flourish for a season, but without deep roots, the storms of life will eventually expose what is underneath. And Psalm 92 gives us a completely different picture of God's people. Not weeds, but trees. Let's look at verse 12 and 13. It says, "But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted into the Lord's own house, and they flourish in the courts of our God." See, palm trees and cedar trees are mentioned in verse 12. Both of them are highly valued in the ancient Near East. They were valued for their purpose and their beauty and their strength. Palm trees, they could bend under the strong winds and storms and they wouldn't be destroyed because they had deep roots. And cedars of Lebanon, they were known for their strength and their stability and their endurance. And their wood was used for temples and for palaces because they could last for generations. Why does Psalm 92 use these images? It's because God isn't impressed with people who flourish for a season. He is looking for those who are deeply rooted in Him, people who remain faithful. People who keep growing, people who endure, people who stay planted. And those deep roots, they don't develop overnight. They develop through ordinary faithfulness. This is true for every single one of us here today. Character isn't built overnight. Faithfulness isn't developed in one big moment. Deep roots grow one ordinary day at a time. One simple decision at a time to say yes to Jesus and no to this world. One day of obedience after another. One season of faithfulness after another. And then eventually your life begins to tell a story, and it's a story of God's faithfulness. Look at verse 14. It says, "Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green." So even in old age, they will still produce fruit. Notice what this text does not say. It doesn't say they used to bear fruit. It doesn't say they were once useful. It says they will still produce fruit. You see, God isn't finished with His people simply because they have gotten older. Think about all the people God used later on in life. Moses was 80 years old when God called him. Caleb was 85 when he asked for his mountain. Anna worshiped and served faithfully into her old age. Simeon faithfully waited for the Messiah and was there when he finally held Jesus. So hear this, church. God doesn't retire people from his kingdom. Now, he may change responsibilities. He may change assignments. He may change what ministry looks like, what fruit may look like. Perhaps there's more mentoring, more praying, more encouraging, more investing in grandchildren, more caring for aging parents, more discipleship, more sharing wisdom with the next generation. Yes, the assignment may change, but the calling to faithfully follow Jesus does not. You may retire from your job, you may retire from your position, but you will never retire from the kingdom of God. Sue, I'm going to be sad not to see you in the hallways throughout the week. And I'll miss the conversations and the walks and the stories. But I am so excited to see what God continues to do in your life and in Mike's life in the days ahead. Because I know your faithfulness, and I know your roots, and I know the way you love Jesus. And I know the way that you view your life through the lens of the kingdom. And I know this, that God is certainly not finished with you. He has different things for you to do. And church, that same thing is true for all of us. God is not finished with you. It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter what season of life you are in. If you continue to say yes to Jesus, he will continue to use your life for his glory and for his kingdom. Look at verse 15. It says this. It says, they will declare the Lord is just. He is my rock, and there is no evil in him. Notice how this psalm ends. It doesn't end by declaring how great the faithful people are. It ends by declaring how great our God is. That the Lord is upright. That he is my rock, that there is no unrighteous in him. And that's the legacy of the faithful. And it's not about us. It's not about how much we produce. It's not about the applause. It's not about titles. It's about pointing people to our great God. It's about connecting people to Jesus because he is worthy and he is righteous and he is the great I am. That's what ministry is about. Church, ministry isn't necessarily about a building. And I think we know that better than most, don't we? 2009, a fire destroyed our building. A few years ago, we had to knock down our youth center. Did we stop ministry? Did we close up shop? No, because buildings come and go. And programs change. And positions eventually get passed on to someone else. But people matter. Your greatest legacy is the people that you influence for Jesus. And Sue, think about all the lives that you've touched over 22 years simply because you were willing to show up and serve. All the children who came to know Jesus, all the families that were encouraged during difficult times, all the volunteers equipped, all the people comforted, all the young believers discipled. Think about all the things God did because you showed up and you loved people and you pointed them to Jesus. That's a legacy. It's not about applause or titles. It's about lives that are transformed by Jesus. In Psalm 92, it reminds us that the faithful life looks like a flourishing, thriving tree. And trees don't spend their time trying to make a name for themselves. They don't worry about becoming famous. They simply stay planted, and they keep growing, and they remain steadfast, and eventually they bear fruit. That's the picture that Psalm 92 gives us of a faithful life. And even though today we celebrate and we honor Sue, ultimately what we are doing is we are celebrating a faithful God. Because everything that is ever accomplished through Sue's ministry or any ministry anywhere was ultimately because of God's work. Like, he's the one who gives the growth. He's the one who produces the fruit. He's the one who determines the outcome. Sue, thank you for showing us what faithfulness looks like. Thank you for staying planted in Jesus. Thank you for showing up when no one noticed. Thank you for loving God's people. Thank you for pointing people to Jesus. And today we celebrate God's faithfulness in your life and ministry here at First Alliance Church. And we eagerly wait to see how God's faithfulness continues to produce fruit through you in the years and season ahead. Because you have new opportunities to glorify God, and new opportunities to serve, and new opportunities to encourage, new opportunities to invest, and new opportunities to point people to Jesus. And church family, as you reflect upon your own life and your own legacy, I pray this would be true of all of us, that we would remain steadfast, that we would stay planted in Jesus, and that we would have deep roots, that we would say yes to Jesus no matter what he asks us, that we would remain faithful through every season. The goal isn't to have the biggest ministry. The goal isn't to receive the most applause. The goal isn't even to have the most visible fruit. The goal is to stay planted. Because when you stay planted in Jesus, you can weather the storms. You can endure the seasons. You can grow old faithfully. And even when your assignment changes, God can still produce fruit in your life. So thank you for staying planted in Jesus. Church family, may that be said of all of us. May we be people who stay planted in Jesus, growing deep roots, remaining faithful, and may our lives bear fruit that point the next generation to our great and faithful God. Sue, I'm going to invite you to come. Sue would like to give some words. I'm excited. Do you want this or not?
So I don't want to cry. Mike just almost made me. When I was hired here 21 years ago, I was 100% sure that this is exactly where I was supposed to be, and I really thought it was going to be short term, a year or two. But God had different plans, and his calling to me was so clear. I was standing in my living room, and we were in a place in our life where my husband's business was closing. He was going to go back to school, and I needed to do something. And so I just asked God, what do you want me to do? And he said, clearly, go to church. They had asked me to do this job several times without pay, and I was at a place where I needed to be paid. So I went and asked, and God was faithful. I am 100% sure at this moment that I am supposed to step down, and that God has other things for me to do. And as hard as that is, I'm 100% sure it's what I'm supposed to be doing. Mike and I have been here 31 years, so we came here when our oldest two were 1 and 3. And we brought two more kids into the world during those years. And this has been our family. And family, we're all different, right? We all have different gifts, different opinions, and personalities, and those things make this a great family. Recently, I have been so amazed by the fact about how very different we are and how very purposeful God is about that. We sharpen each other. We encourage each other. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Families have problems. They have trauma. They have drama. Families support each other, are there for each other. There are times when we want to quit our family. But no matter how bad things get, family is family. Wherever we go, we are still a part of God's family. We don't get to choose our family. Have you ever heard someone say that? You get to choose your friends, but you don't get to choose your family. God has that privilege, and He does not make mistakes. My biological family, who are all here today, have sanded off my rough edges. They taught me things I would have never learned anywhere else. And they've driven me, at times, completely crazy. They have also allowed me to love in a way I can't even explain. At this moment, I wouldn't trade a single one of them. Doesn't mean I haven't thought about it or threatened it. Church family, we are who we are. We are loved. We are chosen. We are holy and without fault in His eyes. We're adopted. We are to gently and humbly help each other and bear each other's burdens, love each other by our actions, not just by our words. Galatians 6:1-2 says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back right onto the right path, and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. 1 John 3:18 to 19 says, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. I have, over these last 21 years, been loved well by this church and its members. I have a bulging file folder, which I almost brought and decided not to because I'd probably drop it and it would go everywhere, of notes, cards, and letters from people here who have down through the years sharpened, encouraged, and loved me well. Children's ministry has not been and can never be a one-person show. And although I could spend hours telling you stories about so many of you, Pastor Mike has limited my time. So I will share a few stories of ways you have encouraged me and my family. And I'm going to start with my family. Look how many of them there are. And without them, this ministry would not be what it is. They have been involved. They have, by their own confession, lived at this church longer than they wanted to. And although they never slept a night here, they would like you to believe they did. They helped in ministry. They came back and they did camp. They've taken pictures for me. They've done so many things that this ministry would not exist without them. And although there have been complaints, they have been the biggest support in my life. Ellie Murdoch, even this morning, she gave me words of affirmation, hugged me, and it's one of the things I'm going to miss the most. But she said I can still have them. They'll be here. I don't know if April White is here. Oh, yeah, she is. Okay, her family, the words for her family are food, laughter, and help me to do ministry well. And they have been a family who came when the kids were very young. And some of her stories are my favorites. But she has pushed me in directions I needed to go. Mike and Sarah, when they first came here, they just stepped right in. I've always been a person that I think camp should be a full staff thing, and they made it that way. They were, how long had you been here? 1 week or two? And they just stepped right into camp, did what I needed them to do without asking, and they have continued to support me down through the years. And they've always backed me, even if they didn't agree with me. Okay, and believe it or not, sometimes we as staff, we don't agree. But that's part of who we are and how we grow. Kathy Ackerman, huge in children's ministry. If you go back and look at those colors, I don't do well putting colors together, but she does. And she helped me get rid of things. She encouraged me. And that place back there wouldn't be as beautiful if I had chosen the colors. Pat Gross and Bobby, they have been there. Whatever I need, they're there. Whether it's pictures, praying at Rosa Parks, putting together bags during COVID, whatever it is, they've been there, and they have always encouraged me. Doug, Oliver, and Helen, you guys have always been in my corner, and you have always supported my passion, and I so appreciate that. Linda Wirtz and Sherry Horn have been friends that came along when I needed them the most. I could vent to them. We walked or exercised together. And they have prayed with me through some very difficult things. How about the Baldwin clan? You really can't talk about a Baldwin without affecting most people in the church, right? Okay. But Abby is here, and I didn't expect that, but she was my assistant, right? And believe it or not, I knew nothing about technology back then, and she taught me everything I needed to know. Like, I didn't even know, you know, those arrows, you can go back on a letter, on a word, and delete it. And when she showed me that, I was like, oh, that's so cool. Okay. So... And way beyond that, she pushed me beyond to look at different things, and I so appreciated her and have loved watching her grow and go into ministry and be a children's ministry director, which warmed my heart. And so I'm so glad you're here. Thank you. Bethany was in my fifth grade class, and her and I still check periodically to see who's the tallest. Because in fifth grade, she was getting tall when no one else was yet, and so we could share stories, and we still do that. Dick was also in my corner, their dad, and I just remember how many times he encouraged me, how much he stepped up to help me to do things, and how his words, although sometimes loud, were amazing. Bruce, we adopted him into our family a few years ago, and he brought more to our family than I'm sure we gave him. The Brittenhams have been great friends. Jessica, my daughter, and their daughter, Mackenzie, have had crazy times together, and they have been friends since they were in the nursery. And so we have appreciated their friendship, hanging out with them. I would say food and fun have also been a big part of what we do. I'll never forget going to a movie with the Brittenhams, and I ended up sitting next to Scott. And there was this part in the movie that was somewhat inappropriate, and I'm like, oh, why am I sitting here? But he didn't seem to care. Joyce Smith, she gives me a hug every week, and I will never forget the time on my birthday week that she sang Happy Birthday in my ear and brought me to tears because it was something my mom had always done, which I found irritating when I was younger, but missed when I was older. And she just did that one Sunday, and it just blessed my heart. You all do things that have blessed my heart down through the ages. Down through, yeah, it's been ages. I love that. What verse was it about? being very old or something like that. And I was like, yeah, that's me. Catherine Brinkman also has been a support to me. And in this last year, I don't know if she did it on purpose, but every few months she would give me some little gift. Not something big, but just something that blessed my heart. Last week it was a small loaf of bread. And I love bread, but her words were about bringing the bread of life to people. And she also gave me this puzzle that's in my bedroom that has all of her kids sitting in a circle, and it says thank you, and it's a puzzle. So it's very cool. You all have blessed my heart. Ashley, who is not a part of this church, is a person who lived at her house for a year, and she taught me the value of glitter. And you'll have to ask about that story. But God has had used me in her life, but he has used her in my life in such bigger ways to take. God doesn't live in a box, right? And sometimes we want to put him in a box, and we have these rules, and we have these things. And Ashley helped me in so many ways step out of that box. There are so many more of you who have, through the Holy Spirit, used your gifts and abilities to encourage me and others by just doing what God gives you to do in each moment of your life. You reflect Jesus. A lot of you know Marilyn Hull, but she posted something this week about ministry in a parking lot. And I was like, I love that. That we should be looking for opportunities wherever we are. And whenever she goes to a parking lot, she looks for somebody to encourage or help. That's all it is, right? It's about being who we are, where we are, and using our gifts to further God's kingdom. As I step down and into what God gives me to do each day away from here for a while, Amy will step up to do what God has given her to do each day here. Please pray for both of us and continue to love us, sharpen us, and encourage us. We will both need it. Thank you for being the right kind of family for me and loving me so well.